This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction. And free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements. Featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to episode 13 of The One Was Had a Dream. My name is Lee Finch, and I will be joined by Danny Baker and Daniel Lewis. Today, we're going to be speaking about the defeat to Cambridge. Then we're going to move on to what we want from the next Don's Trust board. We'll discuss the game on Saturday in the FA Cup against Guiseley. Is it a potential banana skin? And then we'll talk about Aaron Ramsdale and is he the best loan we've ever had? And we'll just talk about Aaron, really, what a nice guy he was. But let me welcome our guests onto the show, as ever, Danny Baker and Daniel Lewis. How are we, boys?
Yeah, good, thank you, mate.
Good evening, good everybody. Are we all right?
Yeah, why are you talking in that weird voice?
I'm just trying to lighten the mood, Lee.
All right.
I've been on Twitter. Oh, sheesh, kebab. I know we're going to come to it, but it's been incredibly taxing to read it and very, very sad to see that some of the conversations have gone the way that they are. But should we cheer ourselves up and talk about Cambridge?
We've got the Don's Trust stuff coming on. We've got the stuff regarding the volunteer charter and stuff, and we'll talk about that after the Cambridge defeat. We'll talk about Cambridge first and then we'll move into all the Don's Trust stuff. And as you said, the stuff going on Facebook and the cancel culture and the censorship and stuff like that, which will be interesting. But yeah, Cambridge, it was poor, wasn't it, really, boys?
Go on, Dan, kick us off.
A good day out with your mates is spoilt by the football.
Sorry, Dan, did you go with Baker?
I went with Baker, so...
Oh, so you said you went with your mates, so...
Okay. That's really, really mean. All right. So
we have to invite him.
Can you stop doing that, please?
Yeah, it was a good day. Cambridge was nice, but again, we didn't start very well. First half, I think we had one header in the first half. It was a good save by the keeper, but 10 minutes before that, they missed an easy header from 6 yards out. So we could have been already 1-0 down. The goal, I actually missed the goal because I was coming back from the bar because it took us about 20 minutes to get a pint. But looking at it again, it's a long ball. There's probably 3 chances to clear the ball, all headers. I think Alexander headers the ball into the box to their defenders. And then again, another header straight to their player goal.
Yeah, from their goal is really disappointing. From... like Henry Lawrence should deal with it, I think. But if you watch it again, I swear he gets a shout from Ben Hennigan, because why would he leave the ball to bounce in the middle of the box like that? But yeah, it's just a ridiculous goal to concede. I don't know what your two view on at the moment, but Assal looks dead on his feet. He was tired.
Absolutely dreadful, bless him. We were standing and watching it, and we were just like, he looked knackered. I don't honestly think...
Who'd you put in instead, though?
Pardon?
Who'd you put in instead?
He definitely should have come off after about an hour for Mabude. And I know it might be or whatever. To be honest, you could have played with 10. He had no attacking energy going forward. We were saying, me and Dan on the way back, I always felt that their right winger, I don't know what his name was, every time he got the ball, he looked to attack. He looked to go at Alexander every single time. Every time Asal got it, he would check back. He'd want to pass back. There was no sort of dynamism in his play. I mean, he is young, and we know that we're going to get these with our younger players, but I just thought, I don't know what you think, Dan, but I just thought he looked absolutely knackered. And he just was he needs a breather.
Well, yeah, Asal, second half, I can't remember him even... He obviously did touch the ball, but I can't remember him actually doing anything with the ball. He's obviously tired, so he obviously needs a rest. Mabude was there. He could have given us 20 minutes. When Guinness Walker and Palmer came on, we had a 10-15-minute spell. Well, we looked okay. Guinness Walker put in 3 good crosses. Palmer won every header. Obviously, Presley was struggling in the first half. They did okay for 10-15 minutes. We had a header which hit the outside of the post. Radonia missed. He missed it 6 yards out, and he headed it straight at the keeper. But that doesn't, you know, you can't say, oh, we deserve to get anything from the game, because we looked very, very tired, and 4 of our players, I wouldn't even have been able to tell you they were even playing.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Dan, with the fact that our players are knackered. Presley looks knackered. McCormick looks knackered, even though he hasn't played that many minutes, but then he's just getting over a cold. And Boody, I don't know why he didn't come on. If he's not fit enough to be on the bench, why is he on the bench? But again, it shows our strength in depth that we don't have the players to put on the bench. We'd have probably gone there with 6 subs instead of 7. We're struggling, I think, with fitness. I think we're going to move on to Geisley, obviously, later on in the episode, but I think it's a great time to be playing a team like that. And then having a week off as well will give our players some breathing space to take that rest that they need.
I just was so frustrated, Lee, and we speak a lot about, and we were even on the way back, we were talking about it. We play ourselves on this sort of young, dynamic style of football. Cambridge, their goalkeeper hits the ball as high up as I've ever seen. It was massive. There were like massive bombs going up in the air, and their centre-forward Ironside is okay. The whole game, the moment Palmer came on, Cambridge showed exactly what they're about. They were panicking. They hadn't won in ages. All they did was launch it, and we were not able to deal with the scrappy stuff, the dirty stuff. And it's just a classic example of a team. This is why I'd really worry about us in a cup game against a team in the league below who just hang it up. We are going to struggle dealing with the physical aspect of our game. Even on a corner, when you looked at the squad, I was looking around. We're all kind of paper thin, not particularly battle hardened. It's not their fault. I'm not saying it's their fault at all. We've bought into a sort of a culture. But the Cambridge game was definitely a game, we spoke about it last week, was an opportunity to get a result. And to lose 1-0 to a really pants goal was so frustrating.
Yeah, I sometimes feel, obviously, you don't want to say too many bad things about Robertson because I think he's doing a good job with what he's got. But when I go to the games, I sometimes feel that he tries to get too involved in trying to beat the other team at their game. And we get involved in a long ball game rather than just saying, well, let's just play our game. And on Saturday, Cambridge were putting out to the right. The keeper, I think 3 times the keeper hit it straight to our keeper. And we got Asau, McCormick and Madoni. We couldn't get the ball down to play to them.
No.
Just quickly, I did read a stat yesterday on Twitter. I can't remember the guy's name who put it on there, saying it probably is true. But he said, out of the top 4 leagues, we've conceded more league goals in the first 15 minutes after half time than anyone else.
Yes, it is madness,
guys. Do we worry? What point are we as fans thinking?
See, I was gonna say this to you two. It's the first time the weekend I saw some people actually going against Robbo. I saw a couple of tweets. I know it will only be a small fraction, but we are now 1-8. We've just lost to a team who hadn't won in 8, who lost 4-1 to Shrewsbury the week before we played them. I know they went and beat Morecambe during the week. An absolute wonder goal as well, if anyone's seen it, the volley.
Yeah, that volley, left foot volley.
Unreal from Cambridge.
Reminds me of one of my goals.
But it always seems like we play teams who are on the downwards downward spiral, and then they play against us. It's the same as last season. They play against us, and then boom, they get a win, and then they start winning games. And
yeah,
we're not worrying. Then when do I mean? Oh. Are we at that point yet?
I thought this month's going to be huge. Cheltenham's now been postponed.
I
think we needed to play that game, but I'm starting to worry now a little bit. Okay. I'm trying to buy into the processes and the elite mentalities and stuff, but I didn't see anything from the team on Saturday against Cambridge where I thought, yeah, we could show up it here, and we're just dropping like a stone at the moment.
Dan, you worried yet?
Not really. I think there, if you look at the bottom four, I think especially teams like, I can't see Doncaster getting out of it. Crew, they look pretty poor.
Yeah.
But our next game is Portsmouth away. That could go one of two ways. We could have a blinder and come out with a victory, or we could get completely spanked. But I'm not overly worried. I think maybe, the players might want, or the fans, might want the Cheltenham game to be on because they might want another game to get the Cambridge League game out of their system. But it's another week off. Will Marsh be back after the Cheltenham game? Will he be back for Portsmouth? Palmer will be fresher. Mabudi should be fresher. So it might do us a favour. I have got faith in Robinson. I do think that he knows what he obviously knows what he's doing, but I do think that he's obviously got a plan. And we do seem to play better football against better teams. So maybe Portsmouth away might be a game for us to turn it around.
So my problem at the moment is Lincoln was a brilliant result that no one really saw. I know we drew with Sheffield Wednesday, but you think for 70 minutes against Sheffield Wednesday, we were absolute dog, and they could have been 3 or 4 nil up against us before we turned it round.
Burton, we were poor last minute.
And it just looks, it's like there's nothing in the games at the moment where I think, oh, we're going to win this easy, or we're going to play some good football for the whole game. Like, we're not even playing decent football now at the moment either. Do you know what I mean? Lincoln was decent. It was. You can't take that away from him. But it hasn't been great for a little while, and I do worry a little bit. You worried, Dan?
I don't know, to be honest with you, because personally, even if we finish bottom by away, I would be like, we need a longer-term manager with a longer-term plan. And at the start of the season, I said, if we have Robbo in, you've got to give him a year and a half to 2 years and say, whatever happens, we have him. He kept us up. We've got off to... what I will say, and I keep saying it, is I haven't enjoyed watching Wimbledon as much as I have this year for a while, playing some quality football. We all kind of understand what Robbo's trying to do. I don't worry about him at all in terms of the fact of, like I said, if we relegated, I'd still keep him. But I'm curious as to, I wonder whether he's having a worry, and particularly he's kind of, which is interesting, and I respect him massively for it. He's put a mast out. This is the way we're going to do it, and we're sticking with our guns, and this is how we play. And the way that once the weather turns, the pitches get heavy and the fixture list piles up, we saw on Saturday that we can't compete with teams who are going to be bullies and try and be physical. We cannot do that. And once you get into end of November, all of January, all of February, the Christmas period is not great on the pitches that we've got. Luckily at Ploughland, we've got a belting pitch, but going to some places, it's not going to suit our style, and we're going to have to find a way. And with the injuries that we've got, for the length that we've got, I don't worry now at all. And like I said, if you got relegated, it is what it is. But we're going to need some reinforcement, which will be a very interesting thing when we talk about later on how we want to go about that. But I'm not worried. But I think Robbo is definitely looking around the squad thinking we're a player light.
I want to say one positive from the Cambridge game that I saw was...
SpongeBob?
Not SpongeBob. But he's taken a lot of criticism, and he's taken a lot of it from us on here. Is Dan Shocker.
Dan Shocker,
I thought he had an actually decent game. I thought he stood up. No, he's not. He don't normally play in a two. He's used to playing in a three. And maybe they've been working with him on the playing in a two. But I thought he actually had a decent game with Ben Ennegan. He weren't at fault for the goal. I didn't think he'd done any mad mistakes. And he actually looked quite solid. So that was one positive to come out of it. Fullbacks again looked... Shock. I don't know why Henry Lawrence doesn't start games and why he was on the bench again. He's one of our best players.
No, he started Cambridge, didn't he?
No, he came on.
Did he really?
Yeah, he didn't. No, did he start?
I thought he started.
Yeah, Lawrence and Alexander.
He went off. He went off.
He went off for Guinness Walker. Yeah.
He went off. Why is he going off instead of Shea? Is beyond me. Do you know what I mean? To be fair, I couldn't even remember that a minute ago. But yeah, he should. I don't know why he's got. Like, I thought Shea was awful against Cambridge.
The last couple of games, I don't think he's been particularly good either.
But he's been better than Shea Alexander.
I don't think anyone. And like I said, when you've got young players, you have to understand the fact that they're lacking experience. And that game was crying out for somebody in the middle of the pitch to grab the game by the ball and just go, right, I'm going to grab this game here and I'm going to tell you what to do and marshal the groups out of it. I'm not saying the. You know, Darius would have done that or anybody else or another player. But we were missing an experienced head. And it did show the moment Palmer came on, all Palmer did was whack one bloke. That was it. He whacked someone, didn't he, Dan? And all of a sudden, the whole crowd went mental. They were panicking. He got a bit physical, passed it across. Crosses were coming in. He was taking two players. But there wasn't a single time I saw Presley in particular, I thought, was ineffective. Again, tried hard, but completely lack of quality, bless him.
He just looked absolutely exhausted,
didn't he? Not one player looked to go behind. There wasn't once when a player was like, Presley will get it, flick it on, we'll go. Nobody.
I was going to say, we've got guys that are coming up, then we've got a rest. Do we work on another formation now where we have Palmer and Presley playing up front together? Because Presley can't play on his own. He can't. We've seen that. He's played, I think, one decent game on his own, which was against Lincoln. But I think he'll do better when he has someone like Palmer just battering around, ramming people, and then Presley will get the touch, bang, good finish, goal. You know, like Forbes did when he came in. I just don't think one up front is working for us because we're not getting the.
But is Presley going to be on the pitch even with a two? Is he going to be better than the player that you got to sacrifice in another position, which is probably Asal, Radoni, Mabule possibly.
McCormick.
You're going to have to
McCormick's not pulling up trees at the moment. Asal looks knackered. And Radoni, I don't think he's really showing anything that you wouldn't think if he got dropped on Saturday, you wouldn't go, oh, that's a surprise. Sorry, Dan.
What do you think?
Dan?
No, I think it might be interesting to try a two up top. I mean, the other thing he could also try, I think Saturday was crying out for it, where when he brought Palmer and Guinness Walker on, he was maybe thinking that Asal was going to get a second wind and do something in the last 20 minutes. When that wasn't going to happen, he could have then put Mabudi on and put Mabudi up top with Palmer. And I just think, well, you could put a two up and it changed how Cambridge are thinking about it, how they're defending, especially set pieces. Again, we had two or three set pieces and I actually think Guinness Walker put in some good crosses.
Yeah.
But I think three of them literally landed on the penalty spot and there was no one there. Get what you say about Radoni. One of our guys who was with us on Saturday, Nick, was screaming at him all game.
Completely.
Yeah, it's like, again,
it's like every game he misses a sit.
He does miss a sit every game. I was going to say to you boys before we wrap up talking about the Cambridge game is that, again, I said it's strength in depth. Like, that's how, like, last year when Robbo came in and we started doing really well. Is we played two up front and we were winning going because we had men in the box, as you said, Dan. Balls were going into the penalty area and going into the penalty spot, and we had people there to win headers. There was Pig, there was Palmer, there was, ourselves, there was things like that, where at the moment we're not getting men in the box. We've got one or two in there and that's it against five other defenders. I think last year when Robbo came in and we did well and we got out of trouble is when we had two up front. And I know you said he's put his mast in the ground and said, this is how we're going to play, but you need to have a plan B. And this is what Glyn Hodges' downfall was, that he didn't have a plan B. Well, he didn't have a plan B. Neil Hardy didn't have a plan B. Robbo has to have a plan B.
This will be a fascinating period. And it's a good one for us because we had a good start. And like I said, ultimately, I always think that you need to be a point a game by Christmas as a minimum, just to keep up with the Joneses. And we're 2 points ahead of that. I still look at the league table. And I still think Crewe, Doncaster, Fleetwood, Shrewsbury, Morecambe are all not as good as us. And Cheltenham are slightly above us, and I think we're better than them. So I don't even think Cambridge were particularly good, to be honest with you, but they bullied us out of the game. It's just a question now. Every team has that bad run. I'm praying to God that this is ours. And that if we have, even if we lose on Saturday, if we've had a 1 in 9, we can't afford another 1 in 9 somewhere along the line. If we want to be mid-table pushing upwards, if we just want to be surviving, then we're fine. We're 2 points clear, game in hand. Shrewsbury's goal difference is pathetic. People like Morecambe, once stopped and stopped scoring, they're going to drift out of it and they're going to struggle. Gillingham have looked pretty poor, but at the same time, you think about this, and this is the thing that worries me. We feel that we've had a pretty decent season. Gillingham, we think, have been terrible, and there's a point difference.
Yeah.
And that's the concern.
I just, I want to, what I don't want to happen is when you had, we had seasons, probably two or three seasons in a row, where you get into this point of the season, December, January, where you go into every game thinking, are we going to score? Are we going to scrape a point? Are we going to score with 10 minutes to go and win 1-0? Going to Plough Lane has been so good so far because the football's been so good, barring probably Burton. You don't really, I don't really want to have to go through another 2 months where you go into the game thinking, oh, a point at home to Crewe is a good result. Where start of the season, like the Oxford game, for example, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
No, I agree. But boys, well, I think we'll wrap it up there regarding the Cambridge result, and next we'll be discussing the Don's Trust.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast, by the fans, for the fans.
Right, we're back, and as said previously, we're going to be discussing the Don's Trust. Many people might think, well, why has Dan Lewis on the pod tonight? I thought it was going to be Colin and Niall. Unfortunately, we pulled that. We cancelled that. Both of them are involved in the up-and-coming Don's Trust elections with 12 others. So please make sure you, if you are a member, read all manifestos and vote appropriately as you wish. We pulled it as we were contacted by the Don's Trust board regarding the episode, and they wanted us to sign a volunteers charter, which we were not comfortable in doing, as it kind of restricts, not restricts, they're not trying to restrict what we say, but it kind of does.
It does restrict it.
If you read it properly, it does restrict what we say. If people made complaints, we could have had to take stuff off. Where we are an independent podcast, we are by the fans, all fans are welcome with all views. People have said it was because of the elections, which is false. We've never been told it's due to the elections that they couldn't come on. We were actually told that Niall would be pressured to not come on if we hadn't signed the volunteers charter, and which I thought was a bit out of order, to be fair, that he would be pressured to not come on.
Yeah.
Just because we were unwilling to sign it, and Niall did want to come on. Niall wanted to come on and speak to us. We pre-arranged quite a bit of the podcast. Like next week's show, we've got three ex-CCL footballers coming on. So we have to pre-arrange it. And it was pre-arranged that Colin and Niall would come on to speak about fan ownership. And this was before Colin had even put that he was going to be going for the Don's Trust board. So Colin was a fan. We saw that Colin and Niall had quite a fiery exchange on Facebook, on socials regarding fan ownership. So we thought we'd get two fans on to discuss fan ownership, and me and Dan would discuss it as well with them. And then obviously elections came up. And as I said, we got told that we got approached by Alex first from the ESG to say that just make sure it's fair between the two of them, because they are going to be going for the elections. And we said, of course we would. We're always going to make sure it's fair. Me and Dan would just be the referees to have a chat about fan ownership. Nothing to do with elections. We wouldn't even mention elections at the time. I didn't even know elections were going on.
No, I generally didn't either. I mean, Lee, can I just jump in at this point?
Yeah, of course you can, mate. Come on.
One of the big things, and obviously I'm very grateful for you, Lee, for what allowing me to be part of this sort of community. And to be honest, the one thing I've always said is, if you're going to do this and do it properly, we need to be able to be completely honest with us as fans. We are Wimbledon fans who watch games. First and foremost, we're always going to be honest and independent and have those opinions spoken about. And I think it's important that what you get is an honest fan talking honestly about AFC Wimbledon. And people may like it, people may dislike it. Hopefully, the fact that you're listening means that you have got an appreciation for what we're trying to do. But it is important to be honest. And I think that I particularly was very proud that Lee decided not to sign up to anything. It's just because I think that we don't want to dilute what we're trying to put out. We're not trying to kid anybody. We're not trying to sway anybody. What I will say, though, just a couple of things on this, is that any fan who wants to come on our podcast, we would love to welcome you. I don't care what background, where you're from, anything, elections or non-elections, you are very, very welcome. Most of the fans that we have, and the thing that was frustrating is that we put adverts out regarding who would like to come on the podcast, and there was nobody that I remember or spoke to Lee about who wanted to come forward from the Don's Trust to speak. And I was just a bit disappointed because this was a massive opportunity for us and you listeners as fans to get some proper information about how the club is run, how we are looking to move forward, and how the Don's Trust are hoping to support our club. And I think that's the big thing for me. It was an opportunity that we could have shared. Yes, we were going to chair a debate, but it was an information exchange of things that, frankly, although we've read it, and obviously Dan spoke earlier about reading things or manifestos, which is great, but we could have actually got some genuine information spoken to us in a language that everyone can understand. And I thought that was the big loss from this week. We've obviously lucky we've got Dan, but it was a missed opportunity, and hopefully an opportunity that will come up and we can sort it out. We'll have conversations with other people moving on. But that's my little piece on that, Lee.
No, I agree. And there's a couple other things I've got to say just to make sure that people are aware that we were asked to sign the chart. And when we said no, we got told, OK, let us discuss it and we'll come back to you, which there was no point at saying, oh, we think it could happen. It was, we'll come back to you, which for me, that sounded like, oh, they might not come back and say you can't do it, or you can't have Narwhan, or you will be able to. And maybe that was my misinterpretation, or that maybe wasn't put in the email properly. But by that time, me and Danny wanted to get stuff in place to make sure that we had an episode coming out on Thursday. So we decided to pull it anyway, because for one, I don't think we should have even been asked to sign a volunteers charter. We're not volunteers of the club. So why are we signing a charter that is for volunteers and people that are helping out the club? Not saying we don't want to help the club, but we want, as Danny said, honest views and everything we put out. As I said, I have got loads of respect for Robbo. Love Robbo to bits. I've spoken to him personally on many occasions. But I do want to be coming on here and saying I can be critical of Robbo without anyone getting upset about it.
And we understand what they're trying to do, and we totally get the reason why it's in place. There's no animosity or anything like that. It's just correct. A shame. It's a missed opportunity for our point of view. And what it does mean is that we can continue to be honest, which I think is...
Yeah, good. And then we got told, please put it back on with Niall and Colin. But I decided that we'd go against them because a lot of it was being led that we had to then interview all candidates with regards to a vibrant election, which is brilliant. I would like to speak to all candidates, but we're not a political podcast. We are fans podcast.
Literally 6 weeks. 6 weeks of like constantly different people talking about the
same and I said to the Don's Trust that to be fair, the 9 years do a great job with the hustling.
Yeah, they do a fantastic job,
and they do a brilliant job. And we're a small time podcast at the moment, even though we are big with content.
Small time, big blokes.
Yeah, big content, small podcast. But the 9 years do a good job, and I'm happy for them to go ahead and do it. We just wanted a debate regarding fan ownership, pretty much regarding the Don's Trust. Yeah.
Just to get us, I'm going to sidestep us. You've obviously seen some of the social media stuff. What do you make of like the fans' reaction to it? Are people being over the top? Is this something that could create a bigger divide than it needs to? What have you made of it?
Yeah, I think I'm not on Facebook, but especially on Twitter, I think if you read some of the comments directed to people and about people that are candidates and are going up for nomination, it is something which is a little bit worrying when you've got what are essentially all supporters of the same club, and they're all going at each other. He can't say that. He can't say that. I don't want to debate with him because he doesn't know what he's talking about. We're all supporters of AFC Wimbledon. And I think sometimes they just need to sort of take a step back, and rather than vent their anger about a nomination on Twitter, maybe read the manifesto, or even go to a game and approach one of the candidates and actually talk to them and actually get to know them before they go on social media and hide behind a keyboard and start having a slangy match with them.
And in general, Dan, on a general topic before we bring Lee in, are you happy with where the club are going? Are you happy with the sort of how the club is run? I mean, I know we spoke a little bit earlier that you're not in the Don's Trust, but What are you happy with it at the moment? You feel quite
as a supporter, I'm obviously not a season ticket holder. I live in Hampshire, but I'm not a season ticket holder. I've been a member, obviously, back in the Selhurst days and a season ticket holder in the Selhurst days, but I moved to Hampshire. I do think the club is well run. Obviously, we've got a lot of people that are willing to put their head on the block to do more good work for the club. So that's a good thing. But I just think as a supporter who's not in the Don's Trust, like myself, I pay, you know, £20 to get there on the train. I pay £20 to get in. I buy merchandise, not AFC related, but I pay £100 a month Sky as well. And I just think, you know, there is money to be spent elsewhere as opposed to just putting money into the Don's Trust. But I just want to be a fan that goes and watches football.
Fair enough. Well, I saw bizarrely Niall Cooper's comment on the Don's Trust members survey. So just interested, I've got a couple of big ones. Interested as to whether you think the Don's Trust survey, and of course I understand that it's just Don's Trust, but is it, I always feel, and I don't know how you feel about this, Lee, that the Don's Trust is basically the people that who represent us as fans, right?
That's how it's meant to be, yeah.
Yeah, and our fans, what we feel should be reflected and worked on. I am not sure 96% of the entire fan base support fan ownership. I'm not sure that 34% say that the environmental sustainability is extremely important. I'm just curious as to whether you where you sit with that, whether you think that the Don's Trust at the moment, of course, they only operate with who is on the board, and we respect that completely, and whoever's on a Don's Trust member, but is it fully representing the requests, desires, ambitions of Wimbledon fans?
I get the two sides that people say that you have to join the Don's Trust to have a vote. Yeah. But anyone could join the Don's Trust to have a vote. So we could get 5,000 MK fans who could go, right, I'm going to join the Don's Trust and I could vote on anything that Wimbledon fans want. Do you know what I mean? They can.
Yeah.
Anyone could join the Don's Trust and vote. I don't agree that that's 96% of the Don's Trust members. That's not
correct.
96% of Wimbledon fans.
Yeah.
I don't know how many Don's Trust members we have. I think the turnout for that was
34%. 40%, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was between, around about 40%. So that's not a great turn.
Four in 10, Lee. Just so if you know what percentages are, 4 out of 10 people.
But that's seen as a good result because not a lot of people have voted, have done the survey before. Right, you're laughing to yourself trying to mug me up. Yeah. Right, but this
I'll do averages next week. Don't worry,
Dan. This is a serious subject at the moment, so I'd like to take it seriously, Pete.
Order.
Otherwise, yeah. But I think we need to open it up to a wider the fan base. And how do we get Dan Lewis on board to the Don's Trust? How do we get me and you back to join the Don's Trust? How do we? You know, we had Jamie Slevin on here. It was brilliant, and he really sold us a dream about joining the Don's Trust. And the comms, again, we talk about comms of the club. The comms are so bad at the moment. I didn't even know that if your membership lapsed, you had to join by the 30th of October to vote for the elections. I went to join again because I want to vote for the elections, but I can't. People said it has been put out there. Do you two remember seeing anything? Or you thought, well, actually, I better join because it means I can't vote on the elections. I can't remember seeing it. And people go, well, it was there. It's like, but make sure people know. Like, when people buy season tickets, say to them, you can put in extra £2.50 a month or extra whatever it is, and you get a Don's Trust member, which means you can vote on anything. Because to be fair, most of the time we're voting on boring stuff, aren't we? It's quite boring. It is. Right? But
why don't you do it, Lee? Why don't, I mean, I know Dan was talking about it and you said about you know, merchandise and Dan travels in and stuff, and I totally get that, right? But at the same time, it's 25 quid. It's 50p a week because I know my division, Lee. Why don't we do it? None of us three do it, but it's 25 quid a year. Why are we not doing it? And I don't know why. I don't know why I don't do it.
Do you know why? Because it's boring most of the time.
Yeah.
I don't care what pies we have. I will moan about them, but I don't care at the long run. You know what I mean? I'll probably say it's shit, but I'll buy one the next week. I do want to be included in the big decisions. Like when we nearly looked, Plough Lane was going to be a shell. I joined the Don's Trust to have a vote on that, so we didn't lose the club and stuff like that. I joined the Don's Trust because to vote on the elections, because I think, well, there's a couple of candidates I don't want to get in, where there actually is a couple of candidates I do think should vote. So I think, well, actually I do. But
most of the time it is quite boring. I think. Sorry, Dan, have your point, and I'll ask.
Yeah, I think that is probably the reason. It's not necessarily. It is and it isn't to do with the money, I suppose. I think the reason why I'm not a member of the Dons Trust is just because I'm not into the boring side of it, the voting, the political side of it. I think if there was maybe something in there where if you're a member of the Dons Trust, you are also an automatic member. So rather than having a stadium card separate, I know the club have got to do other things to raise money other than just being a season ticket holder or an investor. But if they said maybe if you're a member of the Dons Trust, you also get, say, I don't know, even if it's a voucher in the club shop or even if a drink was cheaper or if you got better priority access to tickets, something like that. Or if it was literally, if you're a member of the Dons Trust, that automatically means you are, that is your membership to the club. I wouldn't necessarily mind paying, you know, even 30 quid, whatever it is. But
steady on, mate. Crikey.
I don't. The main reason why is because I'm not overly fussed about the political side of it or the voting side of it. I'm just a supporter that wants to get up on a Saturday and decide whether to go to football or not. That's it.
And also, how do we get, my question to you two is, how do we get younger people involved in the Dons Trust when I don't think we really, for me, it feels like we don't really want them to be included in the Dons Trust. And people will be shouting at the radio now or wherever they're listening or saying this is false. But if you look across the candidates again, there's not really anyone under the age of, 40? You know, someone will come out and say, there's not really many people. Do you know what I mean? But there ain't many people that are young on the Dons Trust board.
Yeah,
I've seen Dons Trust board members shouting down people on social media. They might disagree with them, they might not like them, but you're a Dons Trust board member. You're pretty much a director of a football club, and you're having petty arguments on Facebook and social media, which I think is just puts people off as well. Yeah. And then again, if you look at the social media now with regards to these elections, it's just a joke, isn't it? That the amount of shit going on, you'd think, why am I even going to bother? Because it is just political stuff that I don't want to get involved with. I don't want to be, if I have a different view to A, I'm going to get absolutely abused by B, C, and D. Do you know what I mean? And people, it's a bit
C and D then, you know?
Yeah, but it's like the general election for me at the moment is that you've got your Labour voters being really, really, really loud about it, but your Conservative voters are really quiet and they'll just go and vote and then people will go, well, where the fuck did they win? Do you know what I mean? Because the loudest people are shouting loudest. Do you get what I mean by that? And that's what it seems to me, the people that is so loud at the moment is that not everyone can get heard, or some people just think, I don't want to be heard.
So do you feel that, and again, it's such a tricky balance because I totally understand the way that they do it, and I think if I was a Wimbledon fan outsider or not a Wimbledon fan at all watching, I'd be like, well, the Dons Trust guys, they're interested that they make the vote. With a stuff like a survey, I wonder if there's a fan survey that we do. And if I, hopefully someone out there will be able to tell us on a comment. So we actually get a general consensus across the board on some of these key issues, because it will be much more interesting for if the fan ownership conversation was 75% to 25% and there was something else that popped up. I just wonder whether the Dons Trust, who are, you know, a smaller percentage of the entire Wimbledon fan base, if you can show that you have been, you've got a track record of buying Wimbledon merchandise, or you've got a track record of buying match tickets or season tickets or whatever it is, I wonder whether there are things like the Dons Trust board, whether that might entitle you to have an input or a weighted vote where, if you're in the Dons Trust, you get 3 votes. But actually, if you are a purchaser of a certain amount of things, you get 1 vote. And if you're a season ticket, you get 2. Just to kind of balance that argument. So it's a much more, a better reflection, increase the percentage of people involved. So we get a much more accurate demographic.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the problem with that, Dan, is so hard to do is to get the survey. I don't know if we could do anything at the ground where you get just people asking questions to fans as they come through the turnstiles and stuff, because how many new fans have we gained since we moved back to Plough Lane? And yeah, how many of them are now Dons Trust members? I wouldn't know the figures. My opinion and guessing is not a lot of them will be, because a lot of them are just coming down and think, right, but if we actually said to them, are you a Dons Trust member? No. why this is the reason. Would you be interested if you know you can vote on this? And we might be able to get more engagement. I also want to say that we've got to remember that the Don's Trust board members are Wimbledon fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they put in a hell of a lot of hard work.
They really
they get slagged and as much as we are going to criticise and be critical, their hearts are in a good place. They are doing it.
And they're putting their hand up, aren't they?
They are doing it. Yeah, they are doing it for the love of the club. And everyone who's put their hand up to be nominated for the elections as well now, but they're not doing it for their own gain. Well, I hope they're not doing it for their own gain. I hope they're doing it for the love of the club. We've got people from abroad now coming involved with the board, Don's Trust elections. Do you know what I mean? And it is good that we're opening up worldwide. And people are doing it for the love of Wimbledon. And we've got to remember these people are fans at the end of the day. Their views and their opinions might be different to ours, but everyone deserves to be heard and listened to and have a debate, not an argument.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Lee, then, and I'll maybe pass it then after. So we're not, I haven't read the manifestos and I'm not going to comment on it, but what do you think a four-person panel of Don's Trust fans moving us forward for a couple of years, what does that look like? What do you think we need as a group? So, I mean, I can kick us off if you want me to kick it off.
Yeah, go on.
It would be good to have somebody on the board who is, frankly, from a different demographic than white male. It would be quite good to either have a female on or have somebody of a different ethnicity to give us a completely different viewpoint as to what you traditionally would have. And I think it's important to have that. I would love someone to be on the Don's Trust who, I'm not saying it's fan-owned 100%, and I'm not saying that they have to throw it out, but someone who's prepared to have a conversation about the possibility of not just external investments through this game or something else, but a genuine conversation about, okay, have we reached where we're going to be? Are we realistically going to get to where we want to be? And is this actually still a working model? Because I'm a big fan of fan ownership, but if it was a model that was hugely successful in football, a lot of other teams would do it and they don't. So I am for it, but on a panel, it would be nice. I'm not saying it's got to be 100% outside investment, but it would be nice to have a panel who are mature enough and have got the experience to open up a conversation about it. That's for sure. And I also would be quite interested to see maybe some new, fresh ideas. We've kind of, the current board have gone through a hell of a lot. It must be exhausting. We've had the stadium, COVID. It must be knackering. It'll be interesting to see whether there's any sort of new ideas and fresh energy that can bring us, because we've had a lot over the last, a load of change. And I wonder whether or not having some fresh ideas might benefit us. But I don't know what you think, Lee.
No, I agree with what you're saying there, Dan. I think it needs fresh people on the board. I think fresh ideas. The one we've got to remember that we've got a $4.5 million bridging loan that needs to be paid back in April. I'm 100%, I love fan ownership. I think it's brilliant, but it's got to work. We can't have this, we'll go back to non-league days if it comes to it. No, we're a good League One team in a brilliant, beautiful stadium. We've got to make that work. And if that means that sometimes we might have to talk about outside investment and we might have to look at that and we might have to sell more shares, then I think that needs to be talked about. I don't like the idea of never being able to discuss it again or never being able to put that on the table, because, not being rude, we've all got kids who one day in 20 years' time might turn around and go, football's moved on a hell of a lot. Look at where it was when we were 20 years ago. It's moved on a hell of a lot and might go, well, actually, the only way to survive nowadays is people putting investment in, you know what I mean? Or having 20 people buy out a club and look after it that way. And again, as I said, the Don's Trust board have done brilliant. If you look, we're at Plough Lane and some of the stuff they've done is great, but it can't be a closed shop. It can't be the same people on the board all the time, just yes, men or women. We have to have a few people that disagree.
Do you think there's an argument then, Dan, that you like similar to like an American election, once you're elected for one term, you don't do another if there's enough people who want to do it? Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, there could be. I think if you look at the candidates that are actually up for nominations, a lot of the manifestos are actually quite different. A lot of them obviously mention finance and no to outside investment. Some of them mention no to outside investment, full stop. But probably 70% of them seem to be open to it, as long as obviously Don's Trust remain with a deciding vote. But if you actually look at those manifestos, you could run something like that. If you've got 12 nominations, you could sort of say, okay, well, you know, you've got a year or you've got 18 months, and then you put your ideas to the board, to the club, we'll see if they can work. And then 18 months time, you've got someone else that might want to put some fresh ideas in. Again, if you've got 12 nominations, and I mean, I don't know how many people, is it for one position, is it, or?
There's four people get voted on to the board.
Five. So you're going to have, the thing is, if you have five people that are going to go onto the board, if those five people have all got the same ideas, then there's nothing else. 100%. Whereas if you moved it on every 18 months, another five could then come in and say, right, okay, you've had your go, if you like. This is what we want to do now. But you might get a mixture. But I don't reading the manifestos, I don't think that's what you're going to get. I think you're going to get five people that have all got the same ideas.
Dan, I totally agree. And this is what we say with regards to this podcast, is obviously me and Dan get along quite well. We agree on a lot of stuff. But we want people to come on here who don't agree with us, who go actually, and on Facebook, social media, Twitter and stuff like that, I get quite a lot of it. Then come on and talk to us. I'm not going to slag you off or put you down. Come on and talk. And that's what we want from a board. We want someone to go on there and actually go, no, I disagree with that. And then go, why do you disagree with it? This is the reason. And then you go, and then you sit back and go, actually, think about it. Because this is the problem with social media at the moment, is a lot of stuff's taken out of context. It's written very quickly without thought, and it's written down. Some bad
reactive.
English.
So
it's reactive, and a lot of it's bad English, especially from my point of view, where I forget commas and full stops, and people read it totally different to what it actually is meant to sound like. And as Dan, you speak to someone in a pub, you say the same thing, and it's totally different. It's not like, it's like if I went, "Ah, oh, Dan, you bastard," or I went, "Dan, you're a fucking bastard." That's two awful. Different ways of saying stuff, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? One's a joke, one's not, but. Again, with regards to what your question, Dan, about Baker, about what I want from a Don's Trust, but I want better comms massively. We mentioned it quite a lot. I think the comms from the club, comms from the Don's Trust need to be 100% better. They have to. We have to interact with all fans, and it has to be. But we've got our younger fans or older fans. We have to interact better so people know what's going on, so people are aware. Do you know what I mean? Because the comms at the moment is just falling down for me.
It is, I mean, like I said, and it's not just the comms regarding the club, but it's also the comms that people are doing between each other has been pretty poor, to be honest. And I'm really, really hoping that once we can kind of, I won't lie to you, looking at it, it's like civil war. It's like, honestly, it's like watching civil war. You've got, I believe in this, you believe in that. Social media does that anyway. It's very, you don't believe what I'm doing, so therefore you must be wrong. Me and Dan spoke a long time on the train to Cambridge. And in between playing, never mind the Boscocks, which was great. Guess the tune. It was the whole train were doing it. But it was just like there's this sort of you're either A or B, and there's nowhere in the middle. And I'm just hoping that that the conversations that we're having here, which has been hopefully been relatively diplomatic, and people can come on, that we don't lead ourselves to a civil war type thing where it's like, right, you're in this camp or that camp, and if I'm not in this camp, then do you know what? I'm not going to bother. I just worry whether the whole of this fan ownership. Don's Trust, whether it's a generational thing and whether the next generation, your boy, for instance, Lee, and my little girl and Dan's kid, 20 years time, whether they'll be like, oh, mate, shut up. I'm not interested. Whether it's just a generational thing who've experienced it. Because the kids at my school who go and watch Wimbledon, they've got no idea about MK. They've got no idea about the sit-ins and the Charlie Coppell stuff.
This is what I was going to say. They haven't lived it, and we didn't live the stuff from the non-league days where we struggled to get into the fourth division. It was Don's four, Div four and all that stuff. And yeah, they've not lived it. And at the end of the day, they're looking at it thinking, why is everyone going mad? Why not get outside investment when we've got Plough Lane?
Yeah.
We were at Selhurst before, so it was easier to take a football club away. You know, they had us over a barrel pretty much. I know it should never happen and it did happen, but we were easier to take away than a QPR or something at Luton because they had a foundation. We've got that now. We've got our foundation. We've got our links in the community. We've got DLAG. We've got everything that's good for the club. So saying no to outside investment outright is just madness to me. And I get why people do. I get it. People were really, really hurt, me included, right?
Yeah.
And my missus said to me the other day, she goes, I kind of get it with you because you hate it so much. You hate what happened. But think about what's come out of it that is good. We have Plough Lane as, and I get people go, well, that's fan ownership that's done that. But it can only, we've got to hit a glass ceiling. And sometimes I think we're better than that glass ceiling and we should break through it. We're Wimbledon. Sorry, Dan, I just want to put, because we are roughly, point I wanted to say to you lot is stuff with regards to social media and stuff like that. What I don't like is when B says something, A comes along, but then also all of A's mates jump mm-hmm. on B as well. So it like it's a big gang going on one person. And then you've got B's mates and come back against A. It's just have a debate against people. I also don't like the fact that social media on Facebook, we've had this conversation before where things have been deleted again. There's conversations that have been deleted and because they don't, the admin don't agree with it. It's like free speech. As long as it ain't, there's no racism, homophobia, stuff like that. There's no one proper having a go at someone and bullying. Then just leave it there for people to read. Then they can make their own minds up. And also, if you don't like something, just scroll on. Yeah, I don't get this. Yeah. I don't get this thing where people have to announce who they're voting for and who they're not voting for.
I know. I am not
voting for this.
Propaganda, isn't it? It's people wanting to put their hand up and say what they're doing.
I announce it.
Go on, mate.
Just vote for it. Sorry, Dan. Go ahead, mate.
No, I was just to say I totally agree, but I don't really understand the whole culture of being completely alien. And obviously, we've spoken a lot. I've spoken a lot about. I'm for. Looking into, I'm not saying I'm for investment. I'm happy to be fan owned and I'm happy where we are. But what I find frustrating is when we've got a lot of the fan base who want to kick on, who are like, right, we want to be in the higher end of League One or possibly Championship. And a lot of people are against it because of what's happened. They don't realise that of the 92 Football League clubs, there actually are a hell of a lot of good owners who are financially prudent, who are community based, who are responsible adults. And if you were to look at the clubs in the Football League, a lot of people go, yeah, you've got your derbies and of course that's bad and you've got what happened at Bury, which is bad. That's 2 out of 92. We're talking about a hell of a lot. And you can't call people like Ashley a bad manager, a bad owner, because ultimately they've kept them alive. And they just because they don't invest a huge amount of money doesn't mean that you're a dreadful owner. I get completely, I love the story. It's Hollywood. It's us. I get it. But I don't know whether or not we can continue to have the aspiration that a lot of the fans have on going up the leagues and being more successful and marrying that up with, we'll get all of our money in Plough Lane. That is not going to happen, I don't think, unfortunately.
Sorry, Dan Lewis, just before we come to you for the last point on the matter, I just want to say, yeah, Dan, that's exactly how I feel regarding that, is there's a lot of good owners. It's like customer service. You only really hear about on the news all about the bad customer service mm-hmm. that you receive. You never really hear about the good customer service. On the odd occasion, you will. But most of the time, if you have good customer service, you just think, oh, yeah, that's brilliant. I'll shop there again. And I might mention it to Mrs. But you have bad customer service, you hear about it worldwide. Same as in football. You have bad ownership, it's on the news. Talk sport, yeah. Boom,
and like
boom,
I said,
boom.
We're not condoning it either way.
Leicester have got great...
the conversation, that's all.
Leicester have had great owners. Middlesbrough have got a great owner in Gibson. You've got Accrington with, what's his name, a great Andy owner. Holt. You've got some really good owners out there who do great stuff in the community. And again, I love the fan ownership model. I do. But there comes to a point when you've got £4.5 million worth of debt at the moment that needs to be paid off in April. We currently don't have the money. You also have to have a team competitive on the pitch to keep people coming in to make more money. And there's a point where we have to go, yeah, it's breaking point. Sorry, Dan, you've made the last point and we can move on then, mate.
Yeah, I do. I think Baker mentioned it earlier. I think it's a generational thing. I think if you look at the candidates on the board, they're all of a certain age and they've obviously been scarred by what's happened in the past. And there's a trust issue with outside investment.
Understandably, yeah.
Understandably. But I think you could reach a point in, say, 10 or 15 years where the new generation of support is going to come through and they're going to say, well, we don't want to be stuck down the bottom of League One or the middle of League Two. If we can get outside investment to progress further, then that's what they're going to want.
No, agree. And
totally agree.
My missus said to me the other day, she said, say you was with a girl and she broke your heart and she dumped you. Would you then go, I'll never go with another girl again in case that happens again?
Well, yeah, that wasn't available, so I had to. Got married.
But then I turned around to her and said, to be fair, if I was going to lose my football club again, I'd dump you in a heartbeat. That didn't go down well, but... It's football over misses, isn't it?
She's been eyeing it up for weeks.
Yeah, that's what she's open.
I think the key thing with all of this is, can we just be open and have a conversation and have information that we can have a full menu at the moment we're ordering a food, looking at one thing and ordering it. Can we get the full menu and then we can decide properly?
And if people are debating about who they want and who they don't want on the board on social media, there's no point in starting a slanging match. That, like Lee said earlier, the people who are going for the vote, they're all AFC fans. All they want is what is best for the football club. That is it. There's no ulterior motive. They're not doing it for financial reasons. They haven't, you know, they're not going to suddenly go, oh, here's another, you know, here's an outside investment. I'm going to take over the club. It's not going to happen. They are only doing it for the benefit of AFC. That is it.
No, and that's what I said. Like, we're all fans at the end of the day, and this is wouldn't happen at any other club because of fan ownership. You have got fans then debating with fans who are on the board. At Spurs, you ain't got fans then debating with Daniel Levy because he don't listen to it because he's getting paid handsomely and doing it for Spurs. Where we have got people on the board who are working their asses off for AFC Wimbledon, but then don't like it when they get criticism from AFC Wimbledon fans. And it's just a catch-22 yes, situation.
I knew
he'd
make a mistake. Catch-227.
Right, that's it. We'll move on. And when we come back, we'll talk about the FA Cup game against Guiseley.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
Right, we're back and we're going to be speaking about the FA Cup game on Saturday against Guiseley. Is it a banana skin, boys, or should we easily dismantle these? What league are they in? Conference North.
More importantly, is it a big game, this?
Yes.
Okay, how big are we talking?
Well, we lose. That's 1-9 and we've just been knocked out against
the Conference. I thought you were going to say, if we lose, we're out of the cup. And I was going to get that. Yes.
Yeah. Well, no, if we lose, it's 1-9 and we've just been knocked out of the cup by a Conference North team. It's pretty bad.
Okay.
I think if we lose, I might be calling for Robbo's head.
Wow.
Oh, mate, it is a big game. And also, cup money, we've got power loan off. So we need a big cup this year. We need to do well in the cups. Yeah, it's big for me. Sorry, boys, I'm still going.
Dan, is she wearing... She wore a yellow ribbon. Ooh, is she wearing a yellow ribbon in the merry month of May?
Oh, hopefully. It's a banana skin, but I can't see how we're going to lose. If you look at their...
Didn't they have like 10 guys out with COVID?
15. So last Saturday, they lost 5-1 to Darlington and they had 15 players missing through COVID. That obviously included staff as well. And before their last game, they had to sign 6 players on an emergency dual registration just so they could get the game on.
I love this because you've done your homework, which...
On Guiseley, yeah. Well, it's the FA Cup.
I look at Guiseley. I saw Guiseley Conference North. Well, fuck it, we're doing easy.
Easily.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the form, yeah, we should do. Obviously, a lot will depend on if Robbo's going to rest any players. They're also managed by Marcus Bignot. Remember him, Bakes?
Yeah,
I do know him. Actually,
yeah, he's a joint manager with a guy called Russ O'Neill. But if you look at their, if you look
he's
at their,
out all the stats, isn't he? Look,
if you look at their squad,
stat two.
Well, yeah, if you look at their squad and their situation with COVID, emergency loans, they got 6 players that are registered to play for 2 different clubs.
That's what I love about non-league. You'd not miss them days where you had to give 7 days notice.
Dual representation.
You'd say, look, I want to speak to like John Mayne. You go, yeah, you got 7 days and then you can do it. So what do you mean?
Right, I'm going to say a list of players. You've got to tell me whether they're playing or not on Saturday. Ollie Palmer.
Plays.
Dan?
Yeah.
45. Give him the first 45 minutes at least.
Okay, Darius Charles.
No.
Dan?
No, no.
Okay. Ayoub Assal?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
He has to play. He's out of form at the moment, and what better way to put him in form is playing against Conference North team, maybe get a goal, get a couple of assists, get his confidence up. Remember, when I said this, I said we should rest players and we should maybe bring in a couple of youth if we've got them. And then one of my mates said, well, no, because they've got a week off the next week. So let's go
that's
at
a good
it.
Point.
Absolutely smash Guiseley to bits. Yeah, sounds harsh, but smash them, get some minutes into legs that need minutes, get some confidence into people like McCormick and Assal, and then they've got a week off the next week.
Aaron Presley.
Yes, go 2 up.
Dan?
I'd play 2 up, but I wouldn't start with Presley. I'd start with Mabude and then maybe bring Presley on.
See, I'm interested in Mabude up front because we've played him as a winger, which he ain't. He's a striker.
Yeah, we haven't given him a chance to go up top. What an opportunity. What a game's doing.
No, I agree. And I also agree that it's the time to maybe go with a different formation to try it out, because Guiseley ain't going to be doing that for us. But all right, who else?
Last one. Guy, I don't think... I think he might have played almost every minute. Woodyard.
No,
it's Hartigan. Because he's played a lot, isn't he? Woodyard and Hart are going to play a lot, but Woodyard's played a hell of a lot, isn't he?
I think
has he been suspended yet? He always loves a yellow card, has he?
No, this year, I think he's only one. You know why? It's because the crowd, the refs don't really see it. Yeah. Where the,
so Woodyard, is he playing? Having a breather?
I think he'll play if George Marsh is not fit, yeah.
I think you play both.
What, Woodyard and Hartigan?
I think you have to, because who else have we got at the moment?
Well, you could play Radoni in the middle. Could play McCormick in the middle.
No.
Could play Henry Lawrence in the middle.
No.
Okay. All right.
What's your start? What's your team now? I'd go Zanev in goal.
Yeah.
I'd go Nesta, Soccer, Hennigan, Lawrence.
You play Hennigan as well.
I know
we haven't got anyone else, but he's also another guy who's played a lot.
We ain't got no other centre backs. I can't think of any other centre backs.
I don't disagree.
And then. Would you go? It's hard because I want two up front. So do we go 4-4-2? But then who'd you play as your wingers? We've got no wingers.
That's when Mabude comes in, I'm afraid.
Or do we go back to the old 4-2-2-2?
I don't know. It's your team, mate.
Do we go Woodyard, Hartigan, McCormick, Asau, and then Mabude Palmer.
Palmer.
Presley's getting a rest.
What are you doing, Dan? What do you think?
Or would you go three at the back?
If you were Robbo, Dan, what would you be doing?
Well, if I was Robbo, I know exactly what he's thinking. He's going to be thinking, regardless of what I say, he's going to be thinking, I need to play my strongest team, because there must be hundreds of clubs that have looked at the fixtures, FA Cup first round, and thought, this will be a walk in the park. Rested four or five players and then got knocked out. Regardless of whether they're in form or not, he's going to be probably thinking, I'll play my best team to try and get us back into form. They then got a week off and then we go again at Portsmouth.
So do you think the balance is to play the best team and have a better chance of going through, but there is obviously that possibility of player getting injured?
Or I think that's...
To say, we want to keep all of our best players fit, but if we lose, we increase the chance of losing.
Lee?
Yeah, I don't think Robbo's thinking that. I think Robbo's thinking process. Because I think he goes asleep thinking about processes.
Dinner.
Well, that's why I always go to sleep. I go to sleep thinking about food all the time. But anyway, I actually think I'm going to change it now. I think we should go 3-5-2.
Oh, he's changed it. There's no process here. There's no process.
You've just handed your team sheet into to the ref as well. So yeah.
Dan Soccer, what's his face? Darius Hennigan. Darius then Hennigan.
Oh, sorry, I thought he was calling
it Ben Charles.
Henry Lawrence is your right wing back. Nesta Guinness Walker is your left wing back. Rest Woodyard, go Hartigan, McCormick, Asau, Mabude, Palmer up front, Bosch, we walk out, FA Cup second round. We've just smashed Guiseley 6-0.
So you're playing Asau in centre midfield as one of the three?
Yes.
Okay. All right. No.
Oh, wait. What are you doing then? Because you're giving me a lot of criticism, yeah? But I'm not hearing no fit. Like, do you know what I mean? No debate.
We cannot. I'm as we have spoken about, Lee. I respect your opinion, and I'm not going to swear at you. I think it's got to be a mixture. So I think the keeper definitely plays, and that's fine. I would try. I think he's going to try and keep to a relatively similar formation. So I think he's going to play Shea Alexander. And I think he's going to play Henry Lawrence, one of those two at right back. And I think he'll definitely play Guinness Walker, because I think he'd just be a bit quicker.
What about Chislett? Do you think he'll play?
Well, I think this is the balance with someone like Chislett. Is I know he has struggled to impact on games, but you would think that with nine other first teamers you have, you could potentially pick another one of those players. But what is interesting, as Lee was saying, and by the way, at this point, well done to the youth team who won at Woking on Tuesday.
Yeah, 7-0.
We didn't win at Woking. We won against Woking. We were at home, Danny.
I know. And so we beat Woking on Tuesday.
You went well done to the youth who won at Woking.
Anyway, so Lee Finch, everybody. So, I think it's going to be an interesting balancing act between how we're going to do it. I personally think he'll shuffle his pack a little bit, but not too much. I definitely wouldn't be playing Palmer unless I absolutely
had to. Would you rest Presley altogether and bring Bartley in?
Good point.
I think Bartley's on the bench and he comes on if we're 2-3 up with 15 to go, definitely. But I think the thing with Presley, though, but that's the other balance, is that Presley's going to go away with Scotland. Now, I'm not sure if he's going to be playing or not, but he is going to go away and actually be getting minutes and playing games. So whether or not Robbo's thinking, well, do you know what, is it a balance? The thing, okay, this is the other side of it, though.
Do you have him on the bench then, just in case?
Well, can you imagine, though, you play Ollie Palmer, he hasn't played in ages. He plays in the game against Geisley or Geisley, whatever you want to call him, and he pulls up after an hour. We are going to be absolutely devastated.
So you're starting Bartley?
No, I'm not starting Bartley. I'm just saying that I would start Presley, but I'm a bit concerned because he's been a bit leggy and he's had a lot of game time. And maybe you go Palmer with Bartley coming on. You've got Presley on the bench if you need him. And I pay Mabude, Chislett. Asal can have the week off with McCormick.
Right, can we stop with the Chislett, please? He's nowhere near it.
Mizzle.
Not having him right at all.
Chizzy rascal. He's got to play. You've got to give him a game, mate.
It don't matter how many nicknames he's got. He's not coming. Right?
He's not coming.
Right? I actually changing it again, right? I'm having Presley.
So, hold on. Process. I know we said that word three times. You haven't got to change the team three times.
Presley and Booty, because I like your point about Palmer. You start Palmer and save Palmer for the last 30 minutes. But have Presley and then Booty starting. Because, again, they are a Conference North team. They are going to be, hopefully, a bit leggy.
And they're going to be quite physical, aren't they?
When does their COVID period finish? Is that finished?
Well, I don't know. That was a good... I think it has finished.
Because we have got the Geisley fan on, Dan Lewis, so...
I think it has finished, but obviously it might have finished, but if... I don't know how many of those players actually had COVID, but...
I'm guessing they're going to be a part-time team.
And if they've had COVID, you don't know how bad they would have had it, and if they have even been able to train.
Very true, because some people are systematic. Is it no? Non? Is it not
systematic?
That's a degree, isn't it?
But is it non
symptomatic?
Non-symptomatic.
Like the first.
And some people.
No grease lightning.
And some people have it really bad, don't they? They get long COVID.
Symptomatic.
The good thing about it, though, is if they don't have any taste, they won't be able to taste the burgers. So that's decent. Yeah, you don't know how seriously I've had it, and they could be taught. I actually agree, maybe in Booty and Presley, and then you bring on Bartley and Palmer. But yeah, it's good shouts. But right, before we move on, because we have been waffling about, predictions.
You can go first.
Go on, Dan.
2-0.
2.
Yeah, 2.
Not to them. If we lose to Geisley, that's a complete disaster. 2-0 to us.
All right, Dan.
I'm going to say it's going to be a very, very cagey first half with lots of high balls, and it's going to be a bit of a rough and a tumble. We're going to get to half time and think, oh my Lord. We're going to look over to the main stand and see all the lovely little kids and sitting there and thinking, wasn't that a lovely initiative? And they've come to a dreadful game. And then we're going to score about the 60th minute, and then we're going to probably get a couple of late goals. And I think we might win it 2 or 3-0. I'm going to say 3-0. And Chizzy Rascal is going to score.
All right. 7-1.
7-1.
I'm going to be disappointed in this because Presley's going to get 4. Which
yes, and that's eight. Your bet done. Cheers,
that
thank
puts
you.
Him on 8. So, yeah, I'm worried for the rest of the season. McCormick's going to get 1. Asel's going to get 1. And then Bartley's going to come on and last minute get 1 as well. 7-1 Wimbledon. Bosh, second round. See you later. Let's have some. Right. Let's move on. When we come back, is Aaron Ramsdale the best loan we've ever had?
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
Right, we're back and we're going to be discussing Aaron Ramsdale. Is he the best loan we've ever had? And will he be the first AFC Wimbledon player to play for England? What do you reckon, boys?
Yes, I probably do think that he is the best loan we've ever had. I think the players we've had before, I mean, I've written a few down who obviously stood out as good.
Jake Travis.
I think if you look at the impact he actually made, it wasn't just his performances with his shot stopping and his distribution. It was just everything about him was more professional. We looked a lot more solid with him in goal. And I just think he looked head and shoulders above everybody else. And in the league that we were in, you could tell he was far too good for that league.
What was a better save? The Luton save or the Arsenal-Leicester save?
Yeah, I love the Arsenal-Leicester one, but the Luton one for me is because he kind of slips.
Yeah.
And then to get back up and then to tip that is just unbelievable. We're obviously talking about Aaron Ramsdale because he's obviously been doing well for Arsenal, but it's when he signed for Arsenal, the stuff that Arsenal fans said about him, which really annoyed me and upset me, because I spoke to Arsenal fans. They're like, well, we should do well for you. He's in League One. But it's the stuff he does off the pitch that has raised the game at Arsenal.
And still does it, Lee. He was at the game the other day, signing autographs,
playing football with kids. Yeah, but
I just wonder whether that loan spell at us, I'm not trying to say that we're going to claim any credit, far from it. But I wonder whether that loan spell just gave him a bit of a right wallop. Considering he went off, obviously, with the Bournemouth and Sheffield United, etc. But I wonder how important, when he looks back at his career, was that loan spell.
I think you're making a bit much out of that, because I think because he is that kind of person. He's got the same personality at Arsenal as he did at AFC Wimbledon, which is going to take him further in his career, because he has got that. He makes a save, he literally goes around just going mental in front of all the defenders. So the defender looks back and goes, yeah, let's have some of this, where I don't think Arsenal had that. We're talking about some of the best loans, and you think what you said there about, look at people like Kelly Roos. Kelly Roos had an awful loan after us at Bristol Rovers, where they
sent
him back because they said he couldn't catch a cold. And
Dobson, now, has he done anything at Charlton?
He's back in the frame now, Dobson. But yeah, look, he came down to us.
And really, I thought it was absolutely magnificent.
Another one we haven't mentioned is Marcus Force.
He's now
a Premier League footballer.
And
Did he not get our Young Player of the Year award?
Who, Force?
Yeah.
Yeah, and also I think Force is up there with Ramsdale as one of our best loans we've ever had.
Oh, he was ridiculous. His finishing was absolutely ridiculous.
I've always said he's one of the best finishers you'll ever see in an AFC Women's shirt. Better than Jake Jervis. I don't care what people
think. I think you're talking nonsense. You think anyone's better than Jake Jervis, mate.
But
what about Michael Smith?
Yeah, another good one has gone on to do really well.
I tell you, the one who was really disappointed, who I thought would be excellent, and he didn't quite do it, was Danny Hilton. I know people find it annoying, but I think he was a quality forward. Luton,
he was.
He just didn't quite do it.
Just wasn't a very nice person, though, was he?
I was going to say he's a wind-up merchant, wasn't he?
Yeah,
but he was a wanker off the pitch, so.
But he didn't quite go his way, did it?
But I mean, I'll tell you who I did like when we were under Ardley in League Two, he was initially on loan, Billy Knott.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he struggled with his mental health at the end of his career. He'd done really well at Bradford. Yeah. He's around where I live now, playing non-league. He was at Bowers and Pitsy and Billericay.
That's it.
Yeah, I saw him play Bowers against Walthamstow. Oh, no, Hornchurch in the FA Cup third qualifying round last year.
Because I don't know if you remember, Bakes, we went to Port Vale when we were right down the bottom of League Two under Ardley. It might have even been under... I think it was under Ardley, actually. And we were officially struggling down the bottom. And we went to Port Vale, who were struggling. And in that week, we signed Billy Knott, George Moncur, and Jason Yule, all on loan. And they all started.
Harrison as well, didn't he?
They all started at Port Vale.
He won, didn't we?
Yeah, Jason Yule went off injured, I think, just before half time. But Moncur and Knott just changed the game around, and we won. And that little run pushed us up the table. And I think he was the goalie. Billy Knott and Moncur, they were very good.
Yeah,
I've got two for you as well. Remember when we played Dover in the FA Cup when we were back in non-league days, and we signed 1-1 Fraser Franks, and we signed Fraser Franks,
And thanks, Fraser Franks.
And we signed the other centre back. His name's just gone out of my head.
Paul Lorraine.
No, it wasn't Paul Lorraine. It was someone else. And we won that game 1-0. And without them two at the back, they come in on the Wednesday. And they played on the Saturday, and it was unbelievable. But yeah, I think Aaron Ramsdale was pivotal to us staying up that season.
Yeah.
And I think he will go on and play for England.
Oh, he will.
I think he'll play the next international, I think. I think the weight, bearing in mind, I know Pickford has been fantastic for England, but I just think the sheer momentum.
He won't drop Pickford.
You don't think he will?
He never drop Pickford at the moment unless Pickford does something stupid or he gets injured.
I think Ramsdale gets
Ramsdale's ahead of Johnston now in the England squad.
So the next international window, which is what, next week, is there a friendly or is it just two?
No idea.
Who qualifies? I think Ramsdale gets some minutes.
If it's a friendly, he might play. But if it's if it's a qualifier, I think he'll go with Pickford.
Let's be honest. That save. Anyone surprised? No, we were in the pub. He made it. I mean, the other thing as well, people forget, the second save is also pretty good.
Yeah.
Like the first save, you think, oh my days, and then the second save to get down and make it. I think I think he's a great guy, and the one that I think in that year he was the link between the players on the pitch and us. I mean, Cole, and again, the thing that's always interested, you look at King, Trott the year after, who I thought was a decent keeper, by the way. I don't think there's anything wrong with Nathan Trott
playing in France now.
But it was just like what Ramsdale gave you and what Trott gave you in terms of connection with the fans, verbal, commanding his box, aggression, support. He just didn't. No one else, I've not seen anyone connect as quickly with a fan base as him.
But he's doing it at Arsenal now. He's connected with their fan base. And some of the stick that he got, you'd think, oh. But no, he's gone there and thought, no, I'll show you all. And then you'll be seeing what they have.
Really,
so I'll ask the question. Danny Baker.
Yes.
Is Aaron Ramsdale the best loan we've ever had? As in player, not what it... Is he the best player?
We've had on loan. Not the best loan.
Not the best loan, but the best player we've ever had on loan.
I think you have to. For the level that we're playing at, obviously Tanai Watson is close. But
Don't mention Ryan Clark. Do you know who he plays for now?
He's at MK Tanai, isn't he?
Yeah, so don't mention him on my podcast.
On your podcast, by the fans, for the fans.
I think
he is, on a player point of view. Absolutely. I'm interested as well, while we're here, how many of last year's loans would you have had back in the squad now? So does Ryan Logman get in it this year?
Yes.
Logman does, yeah.
Yeah.
He's at Hull, isn't he, Logman?
Who?
Oxenham?
Who?
Oxarnan?
No.
No? Dan? Oxenham? You having a bit of Oxenham?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Oxarnan.
What about Darnell?
Yes.
Ooh.
Hasn't played much at Fleetwood.
How can you even be thinking about it when we've only got
a game at Fleetwood, Lee?
We've got two centre backs. One of them's Dan Socker.
He's not getting a game at Fleetwood.
I don't care.
We've got
one centre back. What are you saying? No, you'd rather have no one at centre back than play Darnell Johnson, who was class.
Not if he's injured, then no.
Well, if he's injured, you didn't say that. You didn't say he was injured. You just said he ain't getting a game.
Obviously, we'll take Dobson.
You made it sound like that he wasn't getting picked, not that he was injured. So that's wrong on your point.
Last year or the year before we had the guy on loan from Brighton? It was at Lincoln now, isn't he?
Yeah, Max Sanders.
Was that last year or the year before?
No.
Year before last.
Max Sanders don't get near us.
And he stayed. He's another one who I thought was excellent. There's not many Dons loanees, by the way, who go on.
I'll say it now. Dobson don't get in our team this year.
Wow. You still have him in the squad, wouldn't you? Have him over Marsh?
I'd have him over Marsh, but I wouldn't have him over Woodyard or Hartigan at the moment. Anyway, boys. Lou, sorry, Danny's going on. Dan Lewis, is Aaron Ramsdale the best ever player to come on loan to AFC Wimbledon?
Yeah, without doubt.
Wow.
Cool. I'd say yes, and he's up there for me, him and Marcus Force. And then Jake Jervis next. But anyway, right, boys. We are done, complete. It's a long one tonight, everyone, but I hope you enjoy it. And boys, I'll see you. Are you going Saturday?
I shall be going to the Ethan Chislett show, yep.
No, next game, I'm going to Portsmouth on the 20th.
I should be going Portsmouth. Big drink up with that one. Right, boys, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
See you later. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.